Welcome back to Tough Men of Faith. I'm Nick Robertson. RT Stringer's here. We have a guest today. Matt Roller.
Yeah, Matt.
Okay, I didn't know if before. I needed to introduce myself.
I don't know. I'm still processing because Nick's trying to give me investing advice.
Oh, man.
I'm not.
No, on Friday we went to dinner and you're like,
well, it was on the way up.
You need to put all your money in this.
I didn't say all your money, first off. I said use your kid's piggy bank money.
Yeah. And then now you're over there all depressed because
I'm not depressed. I lost about $100 today, but I'm up still.
Is this your gambling side or is this the investing side?
Investing.
All right. Making sure.
We don't gamble.
That's good. No. That's good. It's not good.
I mean, it feels like a gamble every day, but
it'd be a gamble if I took investing advice from Nick.
Yeah. There you go.
No, somebody told me to do that stupid crypto stuff about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I put $500 or $600 in it and it jumped through the roof. So I just cashed out. I was like, cool. And then this last week it's just been shooting through the roof again.
Yeah.
And then I didn't watch it for a couple hours and my buddy at work texts me. He's like, hey, sell everything now. So I did. And then, you know, now it's on its way back up again.
So now I need to buy.
No, you should have bought about an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. That's too much for me to have to watch.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's stupid. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, welcome back, Matt.
Hey, thank you.
How many times have you been on the show now?
I think three times.
Three, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm surprised you have me back, but I'm thankful. I'm glad I'm here.
Here's why you're here.
Why? Oh, Lord.
Here we go.
The guys are sure that you have a burner Twitter account X account. What? How do you call
me
X
and
now?
Trump?
Yeah, because we have an individual that reaches out occasionally, like, you guys need to get Matt Roller back on the show. So, and he's from California. Now, I know who he is. I went to high school with him. But these guys think that he doesn't exist.
And they think it's me.
It's you that started a fake account just so you could.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, it's not me.
Yeah.
You can believe it if you want.
Well, we know you're not coming on the show for the paycheck.
Yeah, no, we believe what you say on Sundays. We don't necessarily believe you the rest of the week.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
Yeah, you know.
But you have your Tough Men of Faith hat on.
Yes. Yeah, I thought I'd bring this out today. I was having
a bad hair
day.
Dust it off this morning?
I did. I took it out of the closet, dusted it off, and forgot what it looked like. But, hey, it's on right now.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, a few weeks, you actually mentioned coming back on this time. I didn't have to beg you to come.
That's true.
Twitter, through X.
Well, Matt and I actually get lunch. It's supposed to be once a month.
Yeah, it's not always. No. In theory, it is. But
it's on the calendar.
Yes.
Yeah. But I cancel about as much as you have to for stuff. So
it's pretty even.
Pretty even. But then you mentioned that there's a topic you wouldn't mind coming on discussing.
Yeah. And you want me to jump into that?
Let's jump into it.
Because it's...
We don't want to talk about crypto anymore.
We don't want to give investing advice.
Since I don't know anything about that, I barely know how to spell that. And maybe I talk about something I have learned. But like RT, I don't know about you, Nick, if you grew up in church or not, but I grew up in the same church.
Okay.
My whole life, been in the same church, and, you know, I'm 51 years old now, and last year I had a revelation that I really don't think that I, in my whole life, had completely trusted in God.
Okay.
And when that hit me, do you know, I don't know if you've ever have something like that spirit. Now, you guys are laughing. I'm not sure you're laughing.
Let me back up.
Okay. I thought that was going well, and then I look at you guys
laughing.
You're
doing a great job. We'll get back to you. This is like a commercial break.
Okay. All right.
So this is on me, but I could I know you mentioned you want to talk about something, and so I thought I was going to call you. It's like, hey, what was it again you said you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I just went with what I thought you said.
Oh.
And so I called Nick up because I tried to give him a heads up a few hours before. It's like, hey, this is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Kish, you know, yeah, Nick, just make sure you, because Nick needs a filter so that Blake doesn't have to edit a lot of stuff.
Right.
And just give him some time to so we could think through.
Yeah.
And I said, Matt wants to come on and talk about why guys struggle with control.
Oh, really?
But.
What did you hear in you and Matt's conversation?
I can tell he doesn't listen to me now. I did right. All that time. Yeah.
So welcome when you said. World. I think Nick was expecting, I was.
Yeah, something about control. And
he said trust. So let's go trust, and then if we have time, let's just talk about control for the next episode.
Hey, I don't have anything on it, so it doesn't matter.
All right. So back to your great intro you had. Preparing for months.
I will try to sum it up really quickly. I just realized, man, there's so many decisions I've made, and it just showed that I didn't really trust God.
Right.
Right.
Yep, and I get that.
I mean, you think about how much we trust God and how many times I've gone to a credit card instead of waiting on God, or jumped ahead of God in a decision, or and all of that. And just the reality of how much fear even that we can have as guys. In fact, I know we are tough men of faith, all that kind of stuff, but we portray oftentimes something that really is not truth inside, because it doesn't matter how tough we are or how much experience we have. Deep down, I feel oftentimes overwhelmed. And it's like, well, wait a minute. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but a power, love, a sound mind, right? But yet, why does I still have the spirit of fear often? Right. And so just struggling and wrestling and thinking through that, it's like this I believe it's from God, right? That this thought hit me. It's like, it's because I've not really learned how to completely trust him.
Yeah.
And so that got me on just a search in God's word on what does trusting look like. And so that was really my big revelation last year, you know, when I turned 50. I don't know if it was a midlife crisis. I didn't go buy a car or anything. So since I couldn't do that, I just thought, well, hey, you don't trust God, so learn how to trust God. So there was my midlife crisis there. you know, that's been so good for me to realize. And it's also frustrating because I've wasted a lot of time on worrying about things that I don't need to worry about. Yep. And because I didn't trust in God. And so for me as a pastor, I thought this is really good that I'm learning this, because I think there's a lot of people that sit in the chairs, the pews, whatever people have, and they're sitting there and they don't really know what it looks like or what it's like to completely put their faith in God.
Well, look at too how good it is for people to see a pastor that says, hey, look, it kind of takes you off of that pedestal.
Yeah.
And hey, guys, I even struggle with this. It's a normal thing for me. And I'm sitting here preaching to you what the book says. And, you know, I still struggle with this.
Transparency is really needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's was something. And that's why I told RT. I said, man, that message series I was doing, that talk with people that I had, it still resonates. Because I think even though I read God's word and I studied what it said, and there's still application that still needs to happen. Yeah. And it's like an ongoing application. And then there's the reminding of that you can trust in God, or whatever you're teaching somebody from the word of God. You have to remind people and you have to remind yourself. I used to work in a homeless shelter and with drug addicted and alcohol addicted people. And we would always say, because those folks tend to relapse often. And we would get to the point, it's like, you know, relapse, this is part of your recovery.
Yeah.
Because you then realize, hey, the triggers that send you back, but yet you should be stronger to move forward ahead. So I think in regards to trust, it's like, okay, God's word shows me what I need to do. I know it, but guess what? I relapse back into having fear quite often having doubt. And I think insecurity is pride, but I also think it's not trusting God.
Oh, for sure. It's, you know, look how many times we all sit back and we got this, we can handle this. We don't need a hand. We can, you know, we get to this. We talk about this every other episode, it seems like, is, you know, having people to call on and having, you know, and calling out to God that we need help and, you know, that we don't have it all together. And, you know, I mean, like you brought up financial stuff earlier, and it's like you go back to the credit card or, you know, it's real easy to fall back into something because of fear and fear and worry and just not trusting that there's a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What's some of the, you mentioned that you started going to scripture.
Yeah.
On this, like, what's some things that stood out, like,
yeah,
scripture?
So I, you know, as I prayed about what to talk about to our people, there's these the three words that came was past, present, future. Like, you can trust God with your past, you can trust him with your present, and you can trust him with the future. So then I just started looking at, okay, first started that with the past, right? And how many times have we had something in our past that leads us to not trust God, or leads us to be angry, or leads us to be bitter, or leads us to not have good relationships with people. And so just looking at that, how that God, although I don't think he forces all the bad that sometimes happens to us, you know, there's a truth, I think, that he allows things to take place in your life, and it's for our learning, for our good,
for our growth.
I just, this past Sunday, I was doing a message, but I touched on John 9, where the blind man that was born blind from birth, and the disciples asked a very interesting question. They said, you know, Master, talking to Jesus, who sinned? Was it this guy that sinned, or was it his parents that sinned, that he was, you know, born blind? Like, that was his punishment, or that was the parents' punishment. And Jesus said this very beautiful thing. He's like, well, neither did he sin or his parents sin, but he was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest or revealed in him. And it's like, wow, that's, you know, we don't think about it like that. And so the things that happen in our past, sometimes they're lousy. I mean, sometimes they just really stink.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say there's that's either because you did something or somebody did something to you, or it's just an accident, right? It's something that you can't blame somebody or yourself. But yet we think, well, God's in control of all things. And if a good God loves me, why did he let me go through all of that kind of stuff? You know, it's the whole, why do bad things happen to good people that we hear all the time? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to wrestle with that unless you understand that God is still moving. He's still working in your life.
Well, it's like you brought up another point there. You said that, you know, maybe we go through something to help teach other people about something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the blind man was blind, not because of anything he did or his parents did, but look what it did, and it brought God out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, made God visible. Right. And, you know, maybe we have to go through something on occasion because it's for the greater good.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's hard to see you when
absolutely,
you're
especially when you're getting hit left and right.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I've been in ministry a long time now, and I have heard so many stories of what has happened in the past. You know, you guys have probably heard terms like father wounds and mother wounds, and now you have terms like the church abuse and all those kind of things, spiritual abuse, and you hear all of these stories of mom did this or didn't do that, or church did this, and you know, there's documentaries all over the place of stuff happening in church. And then what happens is, because of all of those terrible experiences in the past, we end up viewing how we view those people, we view God that way. Mm-hmm. Like if your dad did something to you, you view your Heavenly Father as someone that you can't trust. And whether we might not say that, we might not like think through it enough that we say that, but that really comes through in our actions.
Yeah.
And so I haven't had abuse like that, and I'm thankful, but there are tons of people that have had stuff, really bad stuff in their life. And it's not really surprising that many of them are just done. Like they're done with God, they're done with church, they're done with church people, all of it.
Yep.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's that's where I've been at with that.
Yeah.
You have any advice for men?
Well,
you know, I mean, it's something that, you know, I think you said you struggle with, and I'm sure all of us struggle with it, whether we're willing to admit it or not, but I think we have to get to a point where we can almost push that aside and, I don't know.
Yeah, I know this sounds like pastor talk, preacher talk and all that.
Pastor
Matt. But man, I truly believe that God's word has an answer for everything. And God's Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer directs us as we read the truth. So, you know, just speaking to a guy this past week, and it was such a wonderful thing because he has had pent up anger for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking severe stuff that has happened to him,
right,
within his own family. And he's one of those guys, good guy, but man, he can get angry in a moment's notice.
And, yeah.
And then he starts talking about this family members that did all this stuff to him. And we were just talking for a couple hours this past week. And I said, man, you don't know how to forgive.
Yep.
He said, no, I forgive him. I said, every conversation we have involves your anger toward them. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And you haven't quite figured it out.
You haven't figured it out.
Yep.
And just showing that to him. And he said, well, I don't know how to do it. All right. I don't know how to let that go. I said, oh, man, you're right at a good spot right now because I don't know how you do it either, except for we get into the Word of God together and we pray together.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's always the first place to start. And then the whole forgiveness thing, I think it's so misunderstood nowadays. Forgiveness, in my opinion, is not forgetting, because I think that's a bunch of bull.
Oh, yeah.
It's because nobody's ever going to forget some terrible stuff that's happened to them. Forgiveness
has got so much more to do with you than it does for them. Letting go of that burden that you've allowed them to put on you, and actually forgiving them for it and getting rid of that burden.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot to carry around with you every day.
Well, what I told this guy, I said, those family members that you keep on talking about, they own you right now.
Right.
And one of them's even passed away, but they own space in your head and your heart, right? But forgiveness is simply, in my opinion, again, it is choosing not to hold that sin that they did against you, against them,
right?
You're not forgetting it, but I'm not going to hold that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you can't do it again, but I'm not forgetting it, that it happened.
And forgiveness doesn't mean you trust.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you have to go be buddy buddies with people.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that will happen, but you got to let God work in that. But it doesn't mean that you're going to just trust people.
Yeah.
Those people again.
Right.
So that's where I start. Get in God's word and prayer, and then work on forgiveness. And in that working on forgiveness, as you are studying the scripture still, I feel like God does something that only he can do. And that is to bring joy back into your heart in regards to that area of your life. And so there's my advice.
Yeah.
And I do think, I mean, you mentioned us guys, and I think that's why this podcast is so good, directly toward men, because it's good to be with buddies.
Yeah, we're real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have it all together, obviously.
Hearing your guys' stories, you and Blake and RT's, of just hanging out together and doing stuff together, I'm going to tell you, men really need that.
Right.
But yet so many are isolationists, right?
Because
that tough guy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Got to keep up the persona.
Yeah, right. So anyway, that's where I would start as the advice.
So I think you're right on it. Like, so trust, I think, ultimately comes down to we don't trust God.
Yes.
Like, at its core, we may say it's something else.
Right.
But I think at the core, like, do we trust God?
Yeah.
If so, no matter what that situation. And that's what the Israelites, when you look at when they demanded a king, is it 1 Samuel?
Yeah.
You're a lot smarter than I am.
So you're it is in Samuel. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel.
Yeah, we just read it.
Saul.
Like 10 episodes ago.
You did?
We did.
We did?
Yeah. I don't remember what it said. I just know where it was.
I think RT is playing solitaire on his computer over here.
I was prepared to talk about something else. but they demand a king because, in essence, they're saying, God, I don't trust you.
That's right.
And so what they really wanted was to control God, and they couldn't, so they want to control a king, which they think they can control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it ultimately comes down, we don't trust you, God, put a king in. God answers their prayer, knowing full well and telling them, like, hey, there's some bad things are going to happen to you now that I'm giving you a king.
Yeah.
But this is what you wanted.
Yeah.
Like, to show them.
Yeah, I agree.
Trust is not there. So the ultimate no trust.
That's a beautiful example.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I feel like we as men, we have so much on our plates.
Yeah.
So much pressure, family, work, money, all that kind of stuff. It's on our pressure that we naturally can, we feel like we can trust our decision making and,
yeah.
And we, you know, like the maker of our own fate.
One other part of that too is our decision making is now.
Yeah.
Us as men don't want to wait for anything.
Yeah.
Much less an answer to a problem or a decision.
Right.
And it might not be God's timing right now. So like you said earlier, we figure it out on our own. We go spend the money that we don't have. We, you know, we end a relationship that doesn't need to be ended. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
So many things that we do because of us and our decision making versus ever waiting on God to get back to us on it.
So if after forgiveness, I would say then waiting on the Lord is the good advice.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of Old Testament scriptures talk about, you know, wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. Wait on the Lord, you'll have joy.
Yeah.
All of those kind of things. But you're right. Our culture specifically does not like to wait.
No.
Yeah. We want what we want and we want it now.
Yep.
And, you know, so, but there's a lot of peace that comes with just trusting God in the wait.
Yeah. Right. And knowing eventually he's going to come through.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we have contracts. Like if Nick was going to build a house for me, I'd make sure that we signed a lot of contracts.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, Nick's going to come through.
Yeah.
And so I have this contract to hold him to it. Right.
But he might not have any money.
Right. Nick wants me to sign because I'm probably not good for after that 20% down.
Yes.
So I'm trying to control with that. And I think that's what we do with God sometimes. Like, hey, we're signing a contract because we want to control God in these ways. When the truth is, like, man, he already came through for us on the cross.
Yeah.
It's all taken care of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But going back to the past, I feel like oftentimes our experiences lead us to do we trust or do we not?
Yeah.
And it's our experiences, not necessarily with God, but yet we blame him, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because if bad experiences, it's like, oh, God's good, but he didn't help me through here. Well, so I can't trust him.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. So faith is important. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yeah.
So
this has been good to talk about.
Yeah.
Would you have time to talk about a few more things?
Control.
Control or something next week?
All right. I can do that.
So let's wrap this one up. And then, Nick, any closing thoughts?
Don't take investing advice from me.
Okay. Don't buy crypto today.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust that advice.
Yeah, don't take investing advice. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Make sure to like and share on YouTube, Facebook.
Yep. Instagram.
Instagram. See you guys
everywhere.
Next. Everywhere. Yeah. See you guys next week.
Can't get away from the tough men.
See you next week.